If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Like List and magazine, mm-hmm. It really is designed to fire up like WWE people, right?
This year it seems to, like,
because
in other years, like, it's been very WWE friendly,
right?
It's really funny because I saw, like, I guess Bayley was number 7, I think.
Yeah,
and apparently someone from PWI or in her rating or whatever said that, like, they just, you know, they favored NXT Bayley. She needs to go back to Hugger Bayley or whatever. And then someone brought up the 2015 list, which is when she had like all these amazing matches in NXT, and she was number 11.
Right. Well,
so they want her to be the Bayley that they ranked worse than the Bayley they ranked this year.
Well, and I don't know, nothing against Jordynne Grace and the wonderful year she's had TNA, like, and NXT, like. Like, that's what I think. Like, it's NXT.
Well, right? I think NXT gets, like, sorely underrated. I mean, Jordynne Grace.
Sure.
Roxanne Perez at number 11. That's why I sent you the Roxanne Perez gif. Because Roxanne Perez at number 11 was criminal. And then someone, I don't know if it was Twitter or Facebook, but somebody was like, well, it's her mic skills. And, like, number one, her mic skills are better than half the people above her on the list. And number two, is that part of their criteria? I don't even know because I didn't look up their criteria. But I don't think it is. And if it's kayfabe championships and everything, she's been champion for almost her whole reigning period.
Right. Like, don't have a problem with Toni Storm, necessarily. Like,
I don't even have a problem with Toni Storm being number one, which a lot of people do.
No, not at all. I don't either, because I think that we were raving about her 6 months ago. Like, I was raving about her 6 months ago. It's like, I finally get it. This is awesome. And Jordynne Grace at number two just is silly to me. Rhea Ripley at 3 is fine. What's her nuts in Japan? I'm sure she's amazing. I don't know who. Like, I know who Stephanie Vacker is, but barely. Mm-hmm. And was just introduced to her. So, okay.
Yeah, and like she did, most of the stuff she did was Mexico and Japan during the rating period. I just.
Sari. Like, I don't know.
She used to be in NXT, but now she went back to Japan.
Willow Nightingale, like, I get that fans love her, but
number 8 or 6 or whatever she was?
Eight? Really? Ahead of Mariah May?
Well, and even Mariah May, like, for half the rating period, she did nothing.
But, I will say, what a second half of the rating period she's had. So I can buy the recency bias, but then we get to number 10. And I'm sorry, Athena. At number 10.
Well, she's just literally beat everybody.
Because you're the longest running ROH women's champion in history, because there's literally no one to wrestle for the belt.
Yeah.
Like, I watched her match in Springfield, Massachusetts, bro.
I saw her, like, at least, I think she wrestled. No, she didn't wrestle on the Ring of Honor tapings I went to this year because it was their women's TV title tournament first round. I saw her last year, she was champion then too. So,
like, even throwing out the fact that this is, you know, a dumb arbitrary list, even for a dumb arbitrary list, this is particularly dumb and like grossly arbitrary to the point of like riling even me up, and I don't even follow.
Yeah, it's just
this magazine. It's crazy. Like Liv Morgan, who's had the year of years, is outside of the top 10.
Like, but I mean, Liv Morgan,
you could write,
but also had a rise late. She didn't even have a match at WrestleMania. Liv Morgan, like,
oh no.
Well, that's the biggest stage in the world.
But I'm sorry, you're saying that she had a word like that. She that Athena is more worthy of a top 10 spot than a Liv Morgan. then, as you pointed out,
I don't know. I need to see their criteria, because based on their criteria, which I know takes in like title runs and stuff like that, Athena might have a better stake in this than you think.
For a sixth tier company's belt, a belt on a company. No, I'm just saying. Okay, it's not just saying. Like, I mean, I hear what you're saying. It's a dumb just saying because.
Oh yeah.
Because now you're creating this fake narrative that all titles are created equal, PWI 500, if that is, or 250, if that is indeed one of the, you know, part of the criteria.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Like, the Ring of Honor Women's World title, or Ring of Honor Women's title, has never been particularly special.
Like, I think there's an argument for her to be in the top 10 because of the longevity of the reign. Of the people in the top 10, I could argue worse things about five of them before we argue them about Athena. Like, that's just Athena's the least of my worries in that top 10 right now. But I just, and you can't tell me that, like, there's no recency bias with Julia and with Stephanie Vaquer. Yes, they had great careers in Mexico and Japan, and New Japan strong for Stephanie Vaquer and all that, but, like, they were so newsworthy. And then, of course, made their debuts, and I don't know when it ended. Somebody posted their own list, and they went through, like, September 30th. But there's no way you can print a magazine that fast. So they didn't go through September 30th. They might have gone through – I know the PWI 500 is July through June, and that came out, what, a month ago, 6 weeks ago when we were complaining about it? So they may have gone August through July. And in that case, I think it even hurts a Liv Morgan even more – and would hurt Stephanie Vaquer and Julia even more because they weren't quite as newsworthy at that point. I just, and helps Roxanne Perez more. So yeah, I just can't. Right. But the thing is, like, it just doesn't matter. Like, that's the problem that I have.
It doesn't matter. Well, and here's the thing is, it doesn't matter, like, to you.
Right.
And, like, it doesn't matter to you. And honestly, like, again, given how much I watch all of this wrestling these days, I'm so up on the product and all these other companies, so much so that I'm very disappointed, actually, that I don't see anybody in the top 10 from WOW Women of Wrestling. I'm very disappointed that the Beast didn't make her way onto this list, or, you know, Abilene Maverick, aka Barbie Hayden.
Right.
Is on, like, where are these
people? She should be on the list. The run, she's long term champion.
And I don't want to deny the good publicity it does give to some young independent wrestlers out there that, you know, are able to then share this and be like, yay, how great is this? I'm published, you know, on this list. It's a big deal. But, like, my favorite, like, in this tweet that I sent you just to send you the top 10.
Right.
My favorite response was, "Who made this fraud ass list?" by somebody with the user at Perky10. So, you know, really reliable dude.
Yes,
it's Perky. But it's one of those things where maybe this is the other thing where I struggle with. Like, if we were to put our criteria out as to what makes a top 10 or, like, a women's wrestler of the year, for me, the champ, like, holding a championship for some period of time actually is almost, I wouldn't say it's the least important, but it's not the most important to me. Because
to you,
it's, yeah. And that's what I'm saying, to me. And I think to a lot of people, because when you really look at it and you name names, like, it's not always the people that are holding championships. Like,
right.
That's not what a draw is anymore. Like, it's part of
it. But
draw. Is
being a draw there? That's my problem, is that there's two different things that people are arguing sometimes, and I don't think they realize. There's arguing the list compared to your own personal list,
which
is one argument. And then there's arguing the list compared to their published criteria. Because for me, that's the stronger argument. Like, if you can just say,
oh, yeah,
I don't like your list, like, that's an opinion thing. But if you can literally take their criteria and be like, okay, you said these were the things, but then you published this list, which does not line up with the things, now I'm more, now that actually piques my interest.
For me to do that, Greg, I got to care enough about the PWI to, like,
read the publication. But I guess that's the other thing. It's like, if we don't care enough to go find out what their published criteria is, then why do we care about the list at all? Like, it just comes in, then it becomes a playlist argument.
I did care enough to Google it. PWI Women's 250 criteria, according to my good friend Google, win-loss record, championships won, quality of competition, sorry, Athena, major feuds, prominence within a wrestler's promotion or promotions, overall wrestling ability. So I don't have a problem with those criteria. I also would be interested, and this doesn't show how it's weighted, and I'm looking to see if I have more. Most of it's just telling us that Toni Storm tops the list. I think that win-loss record is dumb, because we've talked about this many, many times. Wins and losses don't matter until they do.
Right.
I think significant wins is where I would probably put the qualifier. I would, again, these are just the bullets in the way that they're listed. This may not be the ranking of the criteria. Championships won would be low for me, because some of the best stories going in wrestling.
And it's probably quite high for them.
What?
And it's probably quite high for them, in all honesty.
Which is where we differ. Major feuds, which I argue is kind of the same as, well, maybe not, because prominence within a promotion, like, you can be prominent within a promotion and not have a major feud.
True. Is. Yeah.
And then overall wrestling ability, like, by that, that's another thing. Like, by what criteria does that matter? Like, what is overall wrestling ability? Because, and I don't know what you want to talk about when we actually record today, but, you know.
Well, that's where you make the mistake of thinking I haven't been recording.
Well, because the last thing I want to do
is talk about this fucking list twice. So
fair enough. But the idea of overall wrestling ability, what does that even mean? Like, when you say overall wrestling ability, is that, you know, your technical prowess in the ring,
right? Who knows?
You know, knowing how to put 7 different submission holds on somebody. Is it, as I would think that you and I would argue, being able to not only perform the moves or whatever it is that you need, the maneuvers that you need to pull in the ring, while also telling a good story that is, in my opinion, a logical story within a ring? Is it your ability to sell? Like, what is it?
Because I don't know. Unless they have a description, I don't know. And
this is so subjective, because, you know, coming out of AEW's last pay-per-view, I kept seeing this sequence showed over and over and over again, and involving Will Ospreay and Ricochet, that everybody was talking about how this is great wrestling. And what did I write underneath it when I sent it to you, Greg?
Oh, I don't even remember.
I think I just basically said I hate this.
Which makes sense, like, as you should.
Because, like,
you said, I see this spot and I think dumb, not amazing.
And it wasn't Ricochet, sorry. It was, who was he wrestling? The Japanese guy.
Takeshita.
Takeshita.
Kanosuke,
it looks Takeshita. Cool. Like, it looks cool.
I guess.
I get the oohs and ahs and the flippy shit. Like,
but even the crowd wasn't that into it. Like, and Ospreay's like, you gotta look, bruv, because everybody's on their fucking feet. But they're really not.
Right.
Like, that's the other thing. Like, it's not the reaction that he thinks. And everybody is like 1,800 people, not 10,000. Like, it's...
But, yeah. And it's not to say that you can't have athletic, acrobatic work in a ring. But goddamned, if it doesn't go anywhere, what are you, like...
Yeah.
You you look like you're trying. You look like you got clotheslined out of your boots, but you land on your feet and keep running.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not suspension of disbelief. That's I can do a cool, like I think I can do a cool flippy thing.
That's like expulsion of disbelief. That's right. Where you have to purposely disbelieve. Like suspension of disbelief, and we've talked about this before, but it's been a while.
Right.
Suspension of disbelief works best when the performers make you do things where you suspend disbelief without having to try.
Right.
To enjoy Ricochet and Will Ospreay, you have to sit down being like, okay, let me turn off my disbelief so that I can enjoy this. And for a small niche market, it works. But I think we've proven that it doesn't work on a global scale because...
Like when Will started to slow down in New Japan... Mm-hmm. That's when I came around to Will Ospreay, and now I feel like...
Well, even his match with MJF, the near hour-long match that he had with MJF, was one of his better matches that I've seen, and I have not seen it. I definitely haven't seen 42 of Will Ospreay's five-star matches, but which I think is how many he has. I don't fucking know. But it's he did slow down, but it's also his opponent. When he gets in the ring with a Ricochet, he gets all giddy and ADHD, and it's like, let's go crazy. And I'm not trying to make fun of him because I believe he has ADHD, so I don't want to make fun of him for that. But this was a bad joke on my part. But he sees that as an opportunity to go full-on choreographed gymnastics versus full-on pro wrestling. And right. To me, that's just not my thing. And for like 80% of the wrestling audience, it's not their thing either. Again. And this was the number that even I defended AEW against. But last week's episode of NXT outdrew Dynamite, Collision, and Rampage. Combined.
That's...
When you add the viewership of all three shows, NXT still beat them. That's not even worrying about Raw, because that happened before with Raw or SmackDown or whatever. But and again, it's apples and pomegranates. Like WWE... Right. Can't really compare to anything. But NXT is now on broadcast television, so people that don't even have cable have it. Like, people just don't realize the significance of NXT being on the CW. It's totally different.
But the TV deal, Greg, it's the TV deal.
And the TV deal is amazing. The TV deal is $185 million. I'm trying to fucking talk about the TV deal, if you'd shut the hell up.
But this is me being the AEW guy. When you talk about the other stuff, is I'm just going to say the TV deal, because that wipes it all away. Like it
doesn't, though.
It's not a bad thing, but that's what they think. They're like, the TV deal.
We need to go back to Zoom where I could mute you.
The TV deal.
Because I tried to mute you here.
You can mute me on this.
It's not letting me mute. You called me. I can't mute you. You can mute me, but then you just can't hear me because my voice goes straight to the recording. So,
well, what's weird though is if I mute you, I can't unmute you. You have to unmute yourself.
Oh, that's right. The weirdness of Skype, yeah.
Which backfired badly on Bandwagon Nerds this week, as Tony kept talking about Mephisto, which is a running gag on the show. And finally I had enough and I muted him. And then I was like, Tony, unmute yourself. And something went wrong with Skype again, and he couldn't unmute himself. And then he left the call, and then it wouldn't let him back in the call.
Oh, that's amazing. That's what he gets for still bringing up the Mephisto thing.
And everything went bad. If only we had had a taskmaster like Kevin Sullivan to save the show.
See, look at that. Well done. Well done. So here's the thing. We have now concluded our conversation about the PWI 250.
Oh, no. We got to talk about snubs.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Oh, Phoenix! Hey, yo.
Ohio seniors, make the right call for better Medicare benefits with Medical Mutual. Call 1-866-966-9338 to find a plan today. Enroll by December 7th.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. always use your head.
It's Astro Down.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brandon Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
Let's start there. If Adam Cole and I were friends, I would be the worst friend in the fucking world. Like, because this dude, obviously I liked Adam Cole for superficial reasons. Because one of the funniest tweets I saw in regards to this weekend's Wrestle Dream, which I definitely don't want to talk about. Given with what they decided to do to Daniel Bryan Danielson in his retirement. And that's probably what the dude wanted. So whatever. You want to be retired, being suffocated by a plastic bag again? Fine. Whatever. Go do. You do you, Daniel Bryan Danielson. Because I don't see him retiring a way that he doesn't want to. MJF and Adam Cole both returned. Both returned in the same match, actually. And the best tweet I saw was MJF and Adam Cole. Two returns, one gym membership. And the dude just looks like your scrawny ass neighbor. Like it just, like there's cleared for return and then there's like actually ready to return. And those are two different things.
I didn't see what he actually looks like. Like I heard he was back.
It isn't good. Like it isn't good. It isn't good. Like, I just.
Do you need to retire that? Is it time to...
No. I'm never going to retire it because at some point in this man's career, someone will realize that physically it is over and they will sit his ass down at the commentary table and he will have one of the greatest second careers of all time.
Sure hope so.
Me too.
Did you? So, I've heard, like, it's funny. This isn't actually what I expected to hear from you in regards to the Adam Cole MGF return. Because a lot of what I stumbled across, because my algorithm is what it is on X right now. And AEW reactions seem to be very strong with the Force, and I don't AEW engage at all.
Right.
Like I don't comment on the, like I don't get it. But I get a lot of tweets in my algorithm from people who do. And there are usual people who are following. But I got one that was a 2.5 minute long video and I almost sent it to you. But I didn't. It was clearly a podcast. It was a reaction podcast to the way the return was booked.
Okay.
And that it was booked in such a way to where, like, Adam Cole, who had already finished off MJF previously, like, also came back to get after MJF again, and they were just screaming about how it made no goddamn sense. So I thought you were going to go after storytelling. I didn't know that it was going to be that
Adam Cole
was still a schlub. Because he's been schlubby for a while.
Yeah, I know. And it's just because I prefer to remember Adam Cole in a way that is glorious. And I can't do that. And I can't do that with the current Adam Cole. No, the big criticism was that Adam Cole was literally the devil himself leading this heel faction that destroys MJF and leading this group of people to try to, you know, take out all the devil's actions. And then he comes back and he's a big giant babyface. And it's against the same guy who they turned on, and which it never should have mattered anyway, because when he did make that turn, he was hurt. And yeah, it's the whole thing is stupid. And MJF finished him off, because then who knows? I don't even want to begin to think about storytelling in a company that doesn't tell stories. Like, it just doesn't matter. I want to talk about something totally different.
Okay.
I want to talk about a horrible wrestling take that I found the other day. I found it on the Facebook. Probably, unless you are the Facebook page of WWE is in my DNA. And I wasn't going to give them any publicity, but now I have. So you're welcome, maybe. I don't know. So here is what they said. It's about the Wyatt Six and Uncle Howdy. Okay? So, and I quote Michael Cole. "It looks like Triple H has already given up on the Wyatt Six and Uncle Howdy. Here are four signs that prove the same. Sign number one, Patrick O'Dowd. The Wyatt Six are not getting a place on the premium live events. Please hold your reactions till the end. Sign number two. No apparent long-term direction for Uncle Howdy. Just silly QR code and unnecessary cryptic videos. Sign number three. Of late, Uncle Howdy has hardly got any TV time on WWE Raw. And sign number four. The faction has straight away been booked in mid-card only. Four signs that prove that Triple H has already given up on the Wyatt Six and Uncle Howdy. Now, do you want to respond to this? Do you want me to know my response to this? Because I responded, and I literally am looking at the screenshot of my response right now. As soon as I did this, I knew this was going to be a topic. As soon as I read it, as soon as I responded to it, I was like, this is a topic. Hell, this could be an article if Greg had time. This is just...
Okay. So... Yeah. Why don't you read your response?
Okay.
Because I'm digesting a little bit.
All right, it's going to take a while, so you're fine.
Yeah, okay.
First, I started with a dig. Yes. A post proving someone doesn't understand the landscape of WWE today. Now, I want to line up my responses with their points. So, number one, the Wyatt Six are not getting a place on premium live events, to which I said, number one, most talent/angles don't make it to the PLEs now. TV is the primary revenue source of the company. Some of the most important things are going to live solely on television. Point number two, no apparent long-term direction for Uncle Howdy, just silly QR codes and unnecessary cryptic videos. My response, number two, Uncle Howdy is going after people who abandon others. That's been the obvious long-term direction since he went after Chad Gable. And this week on Raw, the QR code thing flashes during whose match? The Miz, who recently abandoned R-Truth. I didn't put that in there, but that's I'm adding that right now. Number three, of late, Uncle Howdy has hardly gotten any TV time on WWE Raw. Greg's response, number three, WWE has been taking a less-is-more approach with the Wyatt Six to keep it special. Again, this should be obvious. They also continue to drop viral hints. Plus, Raw is down to 2 hours through the end of the year. TV time will be sparse for many. Number four, the faction has straight away been booked in mid-card only. My response, number four, of course, it's a mid-card act. 80% of the roster is in the mid-card. It's not meant to be a center point of the world title scene. And then I closed with, in fact, the original poster is completely wrong. This has been handled damn near perfect.
Oh, I'm sure the responses were wonderful underneath that, by the way.
Honestly, most of it has been this and hearts and whatever. The original poster has not responded. From what I last saw, I have not seen recently.
Yeah, I think you basically stated two of the things that immediately came to mind when I was taking it all in. The first one being they're relegated to a mid-card act. They've been that from the start. Like Chad Gable isn't exactly what you'd call a main event guy right now. And as you noted, unless you're Samoan right now or Cody Rhodes, your time is fleeting.
And even then, Cody only gets on TV with the Samoans.
Right. So yeah, that kind of puts you in a different spot. It puts you you're not Randy Orton. And so, sorry, like, I don't really know what you want to do there. I, again, because of how I follow wrestling these days, not as intimately tied with the direction of where they're going, with like their just sort of basic arc. But, you know, the idea of going after wrestlers who have abandoned others, you know, now it checks out. And I'm sorry, if The Miz is next, like, that's in the eyes of the WWE and in the echelon of the WWE, you know, I know you don't want to go back to it, but if you go back to the PWI criteria, we talk about people who are prominent in the company.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get much more prominent in the company than The Miz. Like,
period. Well, and to further go back to the PWI criteria, my version of what I keep reminding people about the PWI criteria is you are applying the WWE's criteria to the WWE's booking. And that's smart. You're saying they've actually been elevated. They've moved up from Chad Gable to The Miz. That's a good thing. You know what would be amazing? You know what would be they're never going to do this, but you know what would be absolutely amazing? And this was hinted at in the beginning. Jey Uso should continue to say no to going back with the Bloodline, to the point where Jey Uso's not in War Games. Jey Uso refuses to help. Sami Zayn goes back and Jey Uso doesn't, and whatever. To the point where the Wyatt Six goes after Jey Uso for abandoning his family. Now, that's weird because that makes them heels when they're baby faces. And I think that's the other problem, because they're doing a lot of heel shit, but it's okay because they're doing it to heel, so that makes them baby faces, and that's how wrestling works. Right. That's the biggest thing we tell wrestlers on the indie level. When it's time to turn babyface, we're like, don't change anything. Let's just change up your opponents. That's all we're going to do. You got over to the point where the crowd wants you to be a babyface. Don't change all the reasons why the crowd wants you to be a babyface. Because then we got to turn you heel again. But I would love for them to go after Jey Uso, because Jey Uso is literally the definition of abandoning family right now. Right. Now, does family deserve it? Whatever. But Jey Uso's, and he's done so in a way that found his own success. Like, the fact that Jimmy Uso shows up on Raw and Jay's like, get out of my face. Like, this is amazing. Especially when next week, the Bloodline's probably going to cost Jey Uso the Intercontinental Championship back to Bron Breakker. Because, lo and behold, dark match main event of next week's Raw is Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa. So... they're going to be in the building already. Like, it just makes sense.
Right.
So.
What was the other thing I was going to... Oh, what were the other two points that were made by that guy?
So, which two have we already discussed? I'm pulling it back.
The mid-card thing and... Oh, and the PLE thing. That was the other one. Those were the two that I quickly was like, well, they're only having like seven to eight matches.
Five.
Yeah.
Five matches. I know SummerSlam had more, but that's going to be it. Now SummerSlam's going 2 years.
So that's only so many people they get to work a match on a PLE, and you're now overvaluing what PLE. You're in a mindset of what PLEs were, not what they are.
Before TV became the primary revenue source.
Right. And then, so what were the other two? There were two other ones.
So, most talent PLE, Uncle Howdy's going for people who... Wait, I'm looking at mine. Let me go back to that one. Wyatt fan, not a place on PLEs, no apparent long-term direction. Uncle Howdy hardly gotten any TV time on Raw, and the faction was straightaway booked as mid-cards.
Right, and you already pointed it out, like with Uncle Howdy and TV time on Raw, just where that is, it's That's what it is. Like,
I mean, we just get less Judgment Day members in random matches against LWO members. Like, that's been fine. Yes, the women got a short 10-woman tag the first week, but then this past week they got two full-on matches that were long and entertaining. So it's you know, it's week to week.
So it's flipped around, you know, but TV time in general, and as you pointed out, they're, if you put them on TV every day, mm-hmm. like every Monday, and you have them out there, I don't know. I guess that would be my question to this poster. Like, okay, so they're not on TV enough. What do you think needs to be their exposure on television that doesn't tire them out and make them overexposed? Because the way this works and works well is in the bursts that you talked about in your sort of rebuttal, whether it's the QR codes that people scan, whether it's, you know, an occasional interruption in a broadcast until things eventually get revealed and come to a head. And then you build that up, you pay it off, and then you go back and you do it a slightly different way, but with just as much exposure. Because part of what I think was tough for me with Bray and where he lost steam at times, creative as he was and as great as some of that stuff was, some of that shit was on too often. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if every week you're doing Firefly Funhouse, like, it stops being magic. And part of what they are is they're not part of that realism. They are, but they aren't part of that realistic part of the WWE. Like, they're the fringes. Mm-hmm. And they're the crazy fringe. And to be the crazy fringe, you need to not be there all the time in everybody's faces with the same segment. Because you can only do that so many times, so many ways before it just becomes, okay. It's what makes The Miz special, by the way, is that he can be on TV every day and do his thing in a way that still feels exciting and fresh. Because he's
The Miz.
And his gimmick is such that it lends itself to that, whereas this does not.
But The Miz is often just a conduit for others. Like, Miz TV is the best invention for modern day wrestling because he can get inserted into something, stir up shit, and then back out, and they're fine. Or he can get inserted into, he could show up on NXT, do a promo with Oba Femi and Tony D'Angelo, and then bounce out. Like,
he's Piper's Pit, he's Brother Love, he's the Snake Pit, he's all those.
He truly is. This is going to piss so many people off. He truly is a modern-day Roddy Piper.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's what he is. That's exactly what he is. Like, he's had a longer career in WWE than Roddy Piper did. So, it's dude's been there for 20 years. Like, yeah, it's just...
Well, because he's not as notoriously paranoid as one Roddy Piper was.
True, true.
Over protecting his gimmick and his image. Like,
true. The Miz gets it, and we've used that phrase some, and not that Piper didn't get it, but The Miz gets it. It's Piper never needed to win a title, and that's why he didn't. And if The Miz was wrestling back in that era, he wouldn't have been world champion either. So, and his second world title one was just a conduit to get to Bobby Lashley. So, it was all gravy anyway. But the things that they did, like, it's just. The thing about the Wyatt Six for me is right now, present day, I'm just going to pick one. Dexter Lumis, okay? Present day Dexter Lumis is unbeatable. Think about that for a second. Dexter fucking Lumis, all right? Joe Gacy is unbeatable right now on the main roster.
Right.
If they were out there every single week, Joe Gacy becomes JD McDonagh. And yes, JD McDonagh is half of the Raw World Tag Team Champions. But like on the last PLE, Finn Balor, the other half of Tag Team Champions, was in a singles match. Like, and that's just using it as an example because, again, PLE versus whatever. And now they're doing a tournament to crown, you know, potential new, you know, number one contenders. And they already started that tournament by having the War Raiders beat Alpha Academy, and WWE is notorious for having whoever wins in the first match actually win the tournament because they haven't booked the rest of the tournament yet. Like, it's usually kind of obvious. But It's already a side act, but it's a very strong, impactful side act. And if it's out there all the time, eventually they got to lose. Otherwise, what's everyone going to complain about? Well, they're just burying everybody else and they're pushing the Wyatt Six down our throats.
Yeah.
Which the only person they've really pushed down our throats over the last 3 years is Cody Rhodes and Solo Sikoa.
Solo Sikoa.
The problem is Cody worked. Solo didn't. Much too soon for Solo.
There are reasons for that.
Yes. Too much too soon and Jacob Fatu. And not Roman. Like, that's the other thing about it, too. So, and poor Cody also suffers from not Roman, as we've witnessed recently. That's why let him do the thing with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton and just get the hell out of the Bloodline storyline. But I don't think he will. Because they eventually got to get to Cody Roman 3, but, like, you don't need Cody to be in the whole Bloodline storyline to get to Cody Roman 3. You just don't.
No.
That's fine. But, that doesn't need that.
But the numbers don't work. You got to have them there.
There's other Samoans laying around somewhere. They got one under contract. True. They just got to send him NXT first because he ain't ready. But
true. But then you do the thing that we always do. And like we would be highly critical of it. And
of course we will. Yeah. And they don't need Cody. You got Solo, Jacob, Tongaloa, Tama Tonga on one side. You got Roman, Jimmy, Jay, Sammy on the other. Like, you don't need Cody. And you may not have Cody. Like, the whole Kevin Owens, Randy Orton thing might be what takes Cody out of it. So, that's fine. Because I don't think, unless The Rock is in War Games, then you need a fifth on the other team, and then it becomes Cody. But I just hope that's not the case. So, who knows? The Rock, the real person behind what Solo's doing. I mean, that should be obvious. It was obvious when it started. It should be obvious now. But whatever. So I have no problem with the Wyatt Six because the Wyatt Six is still impactful when they show up. And that's
right.
Even on a 3-hour version of Raw, you didn't need the Wyatt Six to be on there every single week. And when they show up, it matters. And then when they don't show up, it matters. And you can still do the QR codes and the random puppets backstage and all of that. And it works because you're not overdoing it every single week. So just my opinion. I'm just one guy. What do I know? The answer is absolutely nothing. Obviously. I don't know anything.
Well, I mean, but you are a promoter.
I am a wrestling promoter. I did have 600 people at an event this weekend. So
could you go?
It's easy when it's free. You know, that definitely helps. And when I'm the one in the ring going, hey, everybody at the carnival, come on over. We start in 15 minutes. So
hooray, hooray, hooray.
Right? I should have done that. I'll do that next year. Provided they have us back, which I believe they will, because they were very happy with how things went. Patrick O'Dowd, I got to meet Mini Abismo Negro and Micro Man, the world's smallest professional wrestler, Micro Man, who is billed at 3 feet tall, and I think even that's taller than he actually is.
Wow.
Yes, Micro Man. But you know what? Crowd ate it up. They love them some Micro Man. They love the Micro Man. Mini Abismo Negro as well, who's not a midget wrestler, but a mini. And Micro Man is a midget wrestler, but absolutely fantastic. Both guys, true pros, pleasure to deal with. A lot of fun. Everybody did a great job. So, hell of an event this weekend. And by the way, November 16th, 1 month from the day you're listening to this podcast, 1 month away, Nick Nemeth makes his IZW debut, along with Patrick O'Dowd, who makes his IZW debut, on the same night. So,
and by IZW debut, that means I'm probably setting up a chair somewhere.
Probably.
I don't know. You made me take tickets once.
I got a person who does that now, and she's amazing. So
that's good, because I didn't really want to do it this time. Volunteering to work. You're just not going to not let me.
We'll find something for you to do. Don't worry. It'll be something enjoyable.
I don't want something to do. Don't you understand? What don't you understand about this relationship?
But here's the thing.
Don't worry. We'll find something.
We're at a bar. You can have a job to do and have a drink in your hand. You're under the
strange delusion that I want to help. What's that all about?
If you're not helping, you're standing around while I'm working. So
I know. I get to watch my best friend do what he loves.
I do love it. I do love it. You know, as much as I joke that I usually quit 3 weeks before every show, I do love it. And this past weekend was this. You know, when I don't have to worry about selling tickets, it'll be like Wednesday, and I'll forget we even have the event on Saturday. Like, that's how different it is when you're not responsible for the ticket sales, which drives everything. That's our TV deal, is our ticket sales, right? When we talk about revenue. Yes, right, we have sponsorships. Right. Yes, we have all of that. But still, the bulk of the revenue is from ticket sales. So go to IZWTix.com, pick up some tickets. We only have 6 VIP tickets left. And we've already sold a ton of general admission, obviously, because we have the former Dolph Ziggler in the house, Nick Nemeth. So come on out, be a part of it all. It's our last event of 2024, so you don't want to miss it, as we usually set the table for 2025, and we will do so in a big way. Plus, I mean, Nick Nemeth, in dude's first appearance locally here in Arizona, where he lives, since being released from WWE. So think about that. It will be a lot of fun. And cool. as of now, Bound for Glory notwithstanding, he is the current TNA World Champion. So if you believe, maybe he won't be the TNA World Champion after Bound for Glory. But at this time, the time frame we're in now, he is in fact the TNA World Champion. Let's go to commercial, come back. And I don't even know what we're going to talk about after the commercial, because that's where I was going to talk about the stupid ass PWI 500 or 250. So
I blew the agenda.
It worked out just fine.
My bad.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
From the Rougeau brothers.
Hell yeah. So, sorry, this is completely unrelated to anything
that's okay.
Talk about. But I'm looking at the Halloween Havoc digital poster.
Right.
Posted by Shawn Michaels. And I can't help but, as I'm looking at this image, like, again, I don't know who's who very well, but clearly one wrestler did not get the same memo that everybody else did, as he is not got his serious face on in this image, and it's making me a smile. I want to send it to you, Greg.
I'm pulling it up right now.
All right.
So you're thinking
face,
of
serious face.
Serious that actually face. Is a serious face for Obafemi.
That's a serious face.
I don't think he's supposed to be smiling. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
And maybe he didn't know what the photo was for or something, you know, with the hand.
Well, yeah, because I'm sure that these were just put together. They just picked from
stock
different
photos. But like everybody else has at least like an attempt at a fierce face.
Like the only one who actually looks like they're posing for the poster itself is Kalani Jordan, who is in the lower
right.
Because she looks like she's actually crawling out of the ground.
Right.
Whereas everyone else is just sort of posing. Like, Julia's just face. Doing her serious face pose. Trick is just doing his serious face pose. Roxanne's mad. And because it's kind of got a... Like, Roxanne literally looks like an avatar in this picture. Fair enough. You just look at her face. So, yeah. And then you got Ethan Page at the bottom doing the screamy thing. So
the screamy thing. I'm just saying, the Halloween Havoc aesthetic that has been created by this poster, thrown off a little bit by Obafemi's, right, like, big smiling face.
He is smiling. You are right, though. He does look
smiling. He's like, I'm very happy to be here.
Hey, but Halloween Havoc is basically getting the PLE treatments on a Sunday. It's in Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's cool.
Good for
them.
What
do you think of I like the WWE schedule now when it comes to these events. I like the Saturday events. I like
NXT
on a Sunday. I like it.
NXT doesn't have to be on a Sunday for me. I'd be fine with NXT on a Saturday. I just think that it's all good. I do prefer the pay-per-views on Saturdays. I don't mind the two-night pay-per-views when they do them. I don't even care if Royal Rumble becomes a two-night pay-per-view. I'm good with three of those a year. That's still only three times a year. There was a time when there was only four pay-per-views a year. Like, they definitely, again, it goes back to one of my points that I was making about the Wyatt Six. They are taking a less is more approach to a lot of things. Now, when I sat down and I watched Bad Blood, and I saw five matches, and four of them end with outside interference, and I got this god-awful long Triple H promo about Crown Jewel that ends in Gunther and Goldberg, I'm like, okay, that could have been a match. Not necessarily Gunther versus Goldberg, but could have been an actual match with an actual finish, and it would have been a six match. Like, to me, And I don't even get to do this myself that often. Six is my favorite number for a wrestling card. Yeah, it really is. Right. Like, six is a good number for me. We tend to crank out seven in IZW, not counting our VIP matches. But six to me is the ideal number. I think you can get that with some segments and be happy. But by and large, it does seem to be that they're going with five. And even sometimes four. Like, there's been a Royal Rumble with only four. There was a War Games pay-per-view with only four. Those, I think, could be five. The other ones, I think, could be six.
It's reminiscent of an earlier time.
Well, not really. It's reminiscent of Clash of the Champions, is what it is. Like,
yeah,
those are the ones that were five.
Would be an earlier time.
That's true. That's true. But that's a very specific reminiscent thing to reminisce about. But Triple H, reportedly a huge fan of the Clash of the Champions events.
Yes.
And again, small percentage of the company would get booked on those Clash of the Champions cards. Like, a lot of things still got paid off on television. Well, back then, things were getting paid off on the house shows. So, TV is the new house show, really, in WWE speak. Because one of the biggest criticisms people still bring up about the old WWE, WWF, was the fact that Earthquake and Hulk Hogan never had a match on pay-per-view. Right? This dramatic attack that Hogan did. But what they fail to recognize is they probably wrestled on 100 house shows together, drawing huge money because people had to pay to see the payoff. And the payoff was Hulk getting the win and serving the comeuppance to Earthquake. And they did it on the house show loops, and then they went in a different direction for the pay-per-view. And people still, back then, they didn't understand, and now they don't understand. Now it's like, again, Wyatt Six, not on the PLEs. We've gotten really good about using the phrase PLE now on the internet, so that's, you knew it was going to happen eventually. Took a while, actually. They've been PLEs for a good bit of time. Since before Triple H took over, so it's been over 2 years that they've been called PLEs. But it's just interesting because everybody expects everything to get blown off on pay-per-view, and it's your PLE, and it just doesn't happen that way. And I think it makes sense. Like, I'm fine with it. Like, you need to do things on television, and then you reserve some for the PLEs. I guess maybe if they really wanted to, they could have done, you know, Uncle Howdy and Chad Gable on the PLE and, you know, Braun Breaker and Sami Zayn on Raw instead of at SummerSlam. Like, sure, there could have been a different balance, of different things they could have done, but I just, I just don't think it matters all that much. Like, literally, it was weird that Gunther doesn't defend his championship at Bad Blood, but is still there and cuts a promo on Goldberg. Like, that's weird. But then he wrestles on Raw that following Monday. And so, good, bad, I don't know. I'm fine with it. But It did feel like a pay-per-view quality match when Gunther wrestled Sami Zayn, but it's you know, 3 years from now, is it going to matter? Absolutely not. Not whatsoever. Yeah. Especially if Gunther is still world heavyweight champion by then, and I don't know if that'll be the case, but we'll see. I know you hate anything Saudi Arabia with WWE, and that's fine and well.
I don't like that they go there, and I don't want to support that part of it. That's not hate. Like, I just think it's, I think it's a bad idea. Anyway, go ahead.
But they are doing the gimmick now where the world champions will fight each other and the women's champions will fight each other for this big gaudy belt, whatever. And they've done that at Survivor Series in the past. They've done that in other ways in the past. And it's making something special for the Saudis to make them happy, something that will be ignored after the first Raw and SmackDown, after it takes place, so it's not that big of a deal. That big belt is not really a championship. It's just a trophy. Right, Braun Strowman has never defended the belt he won by winning the Greatest Royal Rumble. It's, you know, the only thing anyone remembers from the Greatest Royal Rumble is the big green belt and Titus World Slide. That's it. No, nobody remembers anything else from the Greatest Royal Rumble. But how do you feel about the concept that we are going to once a year, apparently, we'll see if it lasts more than 2 years, do the champion versus champion gimmick stipulation, or not really stipulation, gimmick, as part of this annual event?
In the bubble that is that annual event, I'm fine with it. Because my first question when, like, and this used to, it's so funny because I look at where I was back when I was a child. And, well, but WrestleMania 6 had stakes. Like, as much as I don't want to say it didn't have stakes, but like the champion versus champion concept, the question I now ask is, that match causes what to happen next? Because that's
right, nothing.
Like, and so if it's maybe at a relatively isolated event, like at a Saudi Arabia PLE that I'm not going to watch, that they're going to tell me who won, and there'll be a bragging moment about it, and maybe it comes back at some point for somebody to like go after and get a win. But at the end of the day, like, for there, it's fine. If it was a main event at WrestleMania for that belt, I'd probably have bigger issues with it, because I'd be like, what's the point?
Right.
What's the point of the super duper championship? Which, by the way, I mean, the belt is massive.
Yeah, it's ugly.
Ridiculous. But, you know, for this, whatever.
Right. It's cool. It's a throwaway thing that is going to be forgotten about. And then when they bring it back up next year.
To those people that see it
live.
Like, that's what it's for. It's to make that event feel special to those people. So
and the thing is, like, as it stands today, you've got Nia Jax versus Liv Morgan. And you've got Cody Rhodes versus Gunther. Those would be the two matches. Now, the Nia Jax-Liv Morgan one, they're building through storylines. They're adding Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez and Dominic Mysterio into interacting with Nia Jax and Tiffany Stratton and involving Rhea Ripley and all that. Happened on Raw this week, and they're doing more as that goes along. Now, on the men's side, they're just having Gunther stand toe-to-toe with Cody Rhodes and talk. Like, that's all they're doing. They're not involving Gunther in the Bloodline storyline. They're not doing any of that. What's interesting to me is, how do they book these things in the end? Right? Because the women's situation, you could literally see a situation where Tiffany Stratton cashes in on somebody. Like, Raw was fantastic. The fact that Nia beats the shit out of Liv Morgan and then is doing her best LeBron James impersonation with Tiffany Stratton, she's like pointing to like dumbass, cash in. And then she tries to cash in. And then, of course, Dominic Mysterio comes and pulls her out of the ring. So I thought that was very well done. So you could potentially see that happen. I do think that whoever wins between Cody Rhodes and Gunther, it's probably going to be Gunther. And it's probably going to be because Kevin Owens or the Bloodline or somebody gets involved, causing Cody Rhodes to lose. Because they're not in a situation where they want either of those guys to lose. Now, maybe as part of the deal with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, they said, hey, we've got to have a clean winner. At that point, I don't know. No one Triple H would probably be Gunther. But who knows? Because they're kind of both his golden boys right now. I don't know.
But I think it should be Gunther, though. Like,
I think Cody doesn't need it. And I know that's a really dumb phrase to use in wrestling.
I don't think Gunther really needs it either. But
he needs it more between the two.
It makes more sense.
Between the two, it makes more sense. Like, who would be hurt more by the loss? It would be Gunther. Because the World Heavyweight Championship is already viewed by many as beneath the WWE Championship, especially because of how it was introduced when Seth Rollins won it and Roman was on this tear and all of that, especially when Roman was carrying two belts. Now, fast forward, if you truly want that championship to seem worthy of being on the same level as the WWE Championship, you have Gunther win, and you did let Gunther main event the Bash in Berlin, but Gunther's got a main event over Cody at some point to really drive that home, although I don't think that's going to happen. But I do agree, like, to me, this could go a long way in establishing that World Heavyweight Championship as equal to the other one. What I do love is they're doing all these promos, and Cody's like, you've beaten everybody, blah, 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 blah. You've never stood in there with someone like me. And I'm like, now I get it. What I'm about to reference is not your traditional match. But Cody and Gunther went one-on-one for like 7 or 8 minutes at the end of Cody's first Royal Rumble win. Like, literally stood toe-to-toe. And Gunther was Drew number one in that Rumble. Like, maybe point this out at some point. Like, maybe they're purposely ignoring it. I don't know. But I feel like that level of history should be involved, especially with two guys who love history, like Cody and Gunther.
Yeah, but, you know, Hogan never slammed Andre until WrestleMania 3 either, so.
But how many years ago was that? Like, we can't use that anymore. We can't use him as 37 years old as a reference point in modern day wrestling.
Or you can bring it back because it hasn't happened in 37 years. So you're just bringing it back.
Okay, so Hogan will slam Andre at Crown Jewel. Got it. Okay.
No, he can't. I mean, unless he's going to a graveyard.
Graveyard match. Fun. There we go.
You are a sick man, DeMarco.
I don't want Hogan to slam anybody. I don't want Hogan anywhere near.
No, I don't want Hogan. And speaking of people I no longer need to see on a television set, my God, man.
It's all good. So to me, I'm just interested to see what they do with the rest of Crown Jewel. And everybody loves to put together their own cards and post them on social media. And it's always 8 matches. And I'm like, are you watching? They don't do, we just talked about this. They don't do 8 matches.
Well, but how many did the last Saudi show have?
5.
Because isn't it a longer show, or is it the same length? As like
it has been the same length. Let me look. Because that was King and Queen of the Ring. So King and Queen of the Ring. Let's go to results. Obviously, it had those 2 matches.
Which, there's a significant chunk of the roster right there. So, yeah.
It had 1 match on the kickoff show with Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, and then it had Liv Morgan, Becky Lynch, Sami Zayn, Chad Gable, and Bronson Reed, Nia Jax, Lyra Valkyria in the Queen of the Ring finals, Gunther beating Randy Orton in the King of the Ring finals, and then Cody Rhodes. Oh, I forgot about that match. Cody Rhodes pinned Logan Paul to retain the WWE Championship. I forgot that even happened.
Everybody was impressed with Logan Paul.
Yeah. No shit. And then, of course, Logan Paul has disappeared. But he'll be back in time for WrestleMania. Don't worry.
Yeah, well, as long as he, you know, doesn't talk.
Right. It'll be fine. So, hey, look at that. Good on them. Good on them for doing that one. So, I completely forgot about Cody Rhodes versus Logan Paul. I'm sitting here thinking.
Was that total? 6?
That was 6, including the kickoff. 5 without the kickoff.
So, yeah. So, even then, yeah, I could have sworn the first couple were longer, right?
I think even last year's Saudi shows were a little bit longer. But those have now fallen into the same.
WrestleMania side, yeah.
Yeah. Even WrestleMania, I think, was what, 7 and 6 matches? Maybe 6 and 5
right.
is what we're getting. SummerSlam is going to be that soon. Royal Rumble, it's going to be interesting because when I went to the Royal Rumble here, it was 7 matches, including the 2 Rumbles, and it was a crazy 4.5-hour-long show. Now I would imagine, you know, we've gotten it down to 4 matches with the 2 Royal Rumbles. If they go to 2 nights, you're probably going to have 5 matches on each night. each one of those being the Royal Rumble. So, yeah, I'm going to be interested to see what happens. Obviously, we know the next Royal Rumble event's not two nights because it's already been announced. But that's going to be the next one to go, like it just is. I don't think Survivor Series will ever become two nights.
No, it's always been the...
Yeah, it's always been it's the fourth major, and it's interesting to think about that because, again, there's no big four. The big four is dead. It's the big three, and then the next two, and then everything else. Like that's what WWE is. You can't consider Survivor Series in the same category as WrestleMania, SummerSlam, or Royal Rumble. You just can't, in my opinion. So,
right.
Sorry, I think Survivor Series and Money in the Bank are equals, and I think that's fine. And so, good on them. Good on them for that. They're making money, and that's all that matters. So, I mean, I could play this.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here.
Considering 20 minutes ago, I didn't know what else we were going to talk about. And it's now 20 minutes later. So
look at us go.
Pretty impressed with us. I think we did a good job getting that out there. Talking about God knows what. It's like I have to go back and listen just to see what to put in the show description or not. So it seems like a day and a half ago, we were talking about the PWI 250. So,
right.
And that's because I want it to be a day and a half ago because I just don't want to think about it and talk about it and deal with it because it sucks.
And yet you were planning to talk about it anyway.
I knew it would come up, yes. But once we got it, that's why I hit record when I did. I was like, I am not engaging in this conversation again about something that I hate so much. The sad part is that as we talk about it again now, with the PWI 500 happens. And it ends and it goes away. And then it's that, but wait, there's more moment where the PWI 250 then sneaks back in and was like, guess what?
That's just good marketing, though.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if it was your product, you'd do that. Something similar, I would wager as well. It makes a lot of sense. Let one list go out there, breathe a little bit. Then hit the next one. And then you get the same round of, like I said, it's honestly out of the whole thing, what the one thing I think it does good for is that it does give some exposure to folks who don't necessarily get that exposure on a daily basis. You know, on a platform where their name is going to be seen by people they may not necessarily always be seen by. And those are the people in the 150, 175, you know, and below range.
Like right. Those. Maybe even higher than that. Maybe even higher than
right.
that. But
well,
it's.
I was trying to. I didn't want it like somebody who I saw on TV yesterday at like 112. I don't know.
Right.
They're going to come after me. Nobody's going to do that. But
no one's
but
coming.
But you know
after.
What I mean.
Yeah. Like, what's interesting is that this used to be a 50 list, right. And it's grown, and now it's up to 250. So good for them. It just. Do 500, you cowards. Like, do 500. It'll take some work, but do 500. What I find interesting, and of course, this is a lot of eyes will get rolled. They will purposely put women in the PWI 500. Women who compete with men. But I don't believe there's any men in the PWI 250 because they compete with women. So, just want to point that out. That's all. Point that out. I really don't care. We don't need men in the PWI 250. I honestly think the PWI 500, like I wanted them to include men and women in the PWI 500 because I just wanted one list.
Why don't you make the list bigger and do it that way?
Just do it. Just make one list.
Who would be your top of the list if there's just one list?
So... Again, you got to consider time period. So,
yeah.
So if you're going like, say, we were doing it now, okay?
Right.
So we were going from October of 2023 through September of 2024. I mean, Number one would still probably have to be Cody.
Yeah.
Maybe Gunther. Actually, I could probably make an argument for Gunther to be number one.
Gunther.
And then number two. So one, two, and three would probably go Gunther, Rhea, Cody, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then at that point, your top 10 still going to include names. Like, I'm still going to include Swerve. I think Toni Storm belongs in there, if you consider that time period. I know a lot of people balked at her being in the number one, but I don't have it. I don't have a problem with her being number one.
I think that's a really, there's
no some people hate it because AEW, others hate it because they don't like the gimmick. Like, a lot of the anti-AEW people were also anti-Toni Storm being on that, and they were mad.
It's hilarious to me because that arguably, like, I don't even think it's arguably, it's the not like that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she does something wholly her own, different, unique, channels a specific type of character, runs with it, has a great title run, launches somebody else
right
as a champion. She did everything.
What more could you want?
Absolutely. She did everything you quote unquote purists say that a talent should do, and you're a bitch about it. Like, fuck you all in the ear.
I'm putting Roman in that top 10, even though he wouldn't have had enough matches or whatever. But again, it's the meaning behind it all. Like,
yeah.
Cody's win mattered because of Roman. So
who's the first? Who's the first? Because you didn't name a dude out of AEW at all out of that list.
And Swerve would be in the top 10.
Swerve, sorry, yeah.
Given that time frame,
my fault.
Swerve would be in the top 10. MJF was kind of off and on. I don't think he would be in the top 10. It's interesting because he's not my favorite, but Will Ospreay would probably find his way in there knowing their criteria because he did do a lot. He held championships more than once. Naito wins the win stuff
right now.
Yeah.
I want to like Will Ospreay, and back when the question of who he signed with and you and I were on the same page of where we wanted him to go. Like, I'm sure Will's happy.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely happy.
You went the direction he wanted to go. I'm sure he's putting on matches he thinks are wonderful. Dave Meltzer clearly thinks they're wonderful because he gives him 5 stars because for whatever reason. Will, I think you would have been a better performer in a slowed-down environment like the WWE. I think you would have been you'd been everything you'd wanted to be and maybe even more.
Everything we want him to be. I don't know that he'd be everything he wants to be. Because this is not what he wants to do.
He clearly wants to no-sell clotheslines and do flippy shit. So.
He does. He does want to do that, and that's fine. And he wants to live in England, and he can't do that in WWE. Just like Okada wants to live in Japan, and he can't do that in WWE either. I would have to put Logan Paul probably in the top 10. Because, or at least top 15, because he doesn't do it very often, but when he does, it matters a ton. Matters a ton.
It does.
You know, again, you look at, we're looking at, you know, the end of October to September, he won the United States Championship. I think he was in the Royal Rumble. I don't know. He had the storyline with Randy Orton. He had the WrestleMania match with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. He challenged Cody Rhodes for the WWE Championship. And then he had the big moment where he put over LA Knight at SummerSlam. Like, I don't, you know, he should be in the top 10. Now that I lay it all out, like, he should be in the top 10. Sorry. You know, it's there. So, but I'm going Gunther 1, Rhea 2, Cody 3. Probably Toni Storm 4. To be completely honest with you.
I think she's far and away been the best wrestler in the AEW in that calendar year. Like, performer top to bottom within that criteria. So, excellent. Hey, look at this. We did a 12-minute, 3-minute warning. Look at us go.
I know, right? It's just good on us. Thanks. And look at you pulling one out as you kind of had me make a list.
You just made the list.
Without having me make a list. And then you made me redo the PWI 500 in my own way.
I did.
the Greg DeMarco 4 or whatever it turned out to be. So, but what, so does that, how would your top 4 or 5 shake out then? Would it be the same? Would you have some differences?
I don't know that I would have a lot of differences. And I don't watch AEW enough to really like make a big statement. The reason I say Toni Storm is because Toni Storm made enough of a statement to me.
Oh yeah.
As my friend Matt would say, as a fucking casual, I was still like, that's good shit. That's mm-hmm. amazing. I want to watch her. And I might flip her with Rhea, to be honest, even though, you know, Rhea was, and I think the thing about Rhea that was kind of special though, and now that I kind of really think about it, is that she was like, not, she wasn't just the dominating force. Like, she ran the Judgment Day. She was the mm-hmm. Judgment Day. You know, Damian Priest may have held the big belt, but Rhea was in charge. Like, that.
When Rhea held the belt, Rhea held the big belt too.
Right.
So she only lost it because of injury.
But like, Rhea's, that's the thing is, Rhea's, and even when she was injured, she was back before you knew it.
Mm-hmm. And so relevant the whole time. And she did main event a stadium show, even though she did it in Australia. And that's the only reason why they put her in that position. Because Triple H doesn't like to put women in the main event. We know this. So Shawn Michaels does. Triple H doesn't.
I don't know that I got a lot of shuffling or switching. I think the biggest argument I would have is where I'd put Toni Storm in that top 5.
Yeah. And I think that's valid.
She blew me away.
I think it's valid, and that's fine. You can tell your list to Patrick O'Dowd on Twitter, at Wrestling Realist. It's WrestlingRealist. You can follow me at GregDeMarco44. The website at ChairShot Media. It's sports, it's entertainment. It's sports entertainment. It's
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
So sad. So sad.
Not
when
in
he's
the
become.
Top 5.
Not in the top 500 right now because he hasn't really wrestled. But, and now what's really sad is that right now all that stuff is gone because NXT is off the WWE network and hasn't been moved to the CW app yet. So the only thing that I have of the greatest era of Adam Cole is the TakeOver events. And that Survivor Series where NXT was involved.
It's
and
okay,
that
Greg.
One show, episode of SmackDown. Oh, my God.
Show's over. You can play your sound bites and lament. It's okay.
Awesome!
I came to...
Okay.
Acknowledge me!